everybody. Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. I'm Kim.
And I'm Kyle, and I do not smell any fungus or bed bugs in the murder closet that I'm currently recording in.
What? I wasn't aware that bed bugs had a smell, or that one could detect them via smell.
You can probably, if you can smell them, you're probably currently inhaling them through your nostrils.
I'd say that if
that's
you...
a nice little visual for you right there to start off the podcast.
It's great. I mean, I'm also not sure that I don't have the most steady hand is something you want to hear from someone inserting anything into your ass. I mean, really. Generally.
I actually assumed, I thought that she was asking him to insert into her newly virginized vagina to open the dam up. Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray.
How did we
put your children to bed?
How did we get here?
This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm doing with my life.
You know what I really appreciated was Manuel. He has redefined whiskey dick. He says it made him very active. That has not been my experience with men that drink too much whiskey, but I'm glad it has that effect on him.
I like whiskey, and it hasn't been a problem for me, but also I don't get completely shit-faced since I've been in my 20s, really. So that's probably like the actual problem, right?
Yeah, that is. I know. I just love that he like called it out. He's like, we had whiskey. So yeah, I was banging all night. Oh.
Everyone was banging this episode. Everyone.
It's too much. I don't know. Do you think so? Am I being prude? I just like...
Oh, God. The Gino and Jasmine was way too much.
If your wife got ass implants, would you notice if you saw her in that outfit? Please say yes.
Or if we had sex like the entire night?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, probably.
Also, like, how did like the massage hurt her butt, but the sex didn't hurt her butt?
That's a like, great
at
question.
Some point, you know?
So in fairness to Gino, perhaps her explanation on the ass implants was that she lost a bunch of weight. So this was just restoring the ass to its former state.
I see. I don't know.
I still find it hard to believe that Gino wouldn't like grab hold of the situation at some point,
right?
Like the masseuse did, which
right?
like caused her to yelp. So I kind of feel like this is a little fraudacious.
He did. You're telling me he didn't slap that ass at any point during the night?
She had her leg. I mean, we saw a very graphic scene of a blurred vagina and her like leg was over his. You're telling me that a hand didn't grab onto that in that position? Fuck off.
How did we get here? I mean, really, like...
Well, I'll tell you, 5 years and 2 months ago, you called me. And now we're talking about reopening vaginal cavities that have been sealed shut by a medical professional for some reason.
I did appreciate Jasmine's, you know, thinking about Gino and that... She should get him a sex costume with a hat because that's very important to him.
That is really sweet, actually. I didn't even think of that. It just warms your cockles, doesn't it?
Gino claims he doesn't wear a hat when he has sex with Jasmine, but since this was being filmed, he's really changed his tune on the whole sex thing. Like when she tried to have sex with him in Panama, he like wasn't having it, and now he's really into it. What happened?
Well, according to him, they're not fighting anymore. We talked about how Jasmine's vibe feels pretty clearly like a character.
Yeah.
And that a lot of that is based on her behavior at the tell-all, where she kind of goes from 0 to 1,000. But when people come at her, besides Gino, she's actually kind of like calm and murderous in her vibe instead of screeching like Hellion Banshee woman. And this episode, I was like, I did think that she would have a fucking freak out about him quitting his job. And I think that she had an actually pretty normal reaction.
He freaked out way more about the butt implants than she did about the job.
Because he quit his job.
She had a lot of good points. Jasmine keeps bringing it. Look, I don't believe for a second that Dan gave her $2,000 for butt implants, because like, why would he?
Why? What is the point of that?
I'm leaving. It's so funny.
Like we had sex before and we lived in the same building. I'm leaving fucking forever. Give me $2,000 for a nice ass that another man can plow in Michigan. What?
It makes no sense.
I fully believe that Dane is going to get on Skype at some point and just like confirm this for drama, though.
Oh, yeah. I hope so.
With Gino.
If you had a kind of crazy friend, like neighbor in an apartment building, and like you're not married and you're just like YOLO, and she's like, can I tell this lie for TV? It'll be really funny. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe I'd be like, 100% on board.
Yeah, this sounds fun. I'll play along.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. You know who's really on my shit list is Rob. Like, this is what I don't understand about the Rob and Sophie stuff. He's telling her, like, he says things like, well, your family pays your rent and you're so spoiled and you're used to this life of luxury. But Sophie says that she's been on her own and hasn't accepted any money from her family since she was 16. So, like, which is it?
Yeah, maybe spoiled could be accurate, I guess. But she's not. I mean, look, maybe I am tainted by living in a nice house that my wife built in Vood, but I don't think that she's acting that spoiled.
No.
She's a little, I mean, look, she's ignorant about LA home prices, big deal. Everyone that isn't from Santa Monica can't possibly conceive of those actually kind of shitty and small apartments being $25,000, which they are. But beyond that, like, I think her complaining about the bathroom is like very mild and kind of appropriate.
As she says, is wanting a bathroom indoors really that bougie?
Like, bougie is an absurd word to use to describe that complaint.
I'm sorry, I don't want to pee in an outhouse. Like, I don't think that it is the least ridiculous demand we've ever seen on this show. Let's put it that way.
The problem with the bathroom for me isn't even that it's outdoors necessarily. I mean, Rob said, I think the same thing I said on episode 1. It doesn't fucking rain anyway. And I think it's an enclosed courtyard, so it's not like a bunch of people are going to see her. It's that, one, I sleep naked and I don't want to fucking walk over there, but naked and get put on clothes. But two, it looks like, it would be one thing, I guess, if the bathroom was nice, but it looks like shit. It's dingy. Dark. We don't even know if it has proper ventilation. It's dark. She can't even put her makeup on. Like, that's a deal breaker.
I agree. If it was some like nice bathroom, but it was just a few steps outside the courtyard, like whatever. I don't really care. But it looks like a shitty bathroom that's also outside. It's just very strange. I don't know. But I don't think she's like a brat for like wanting a bathroom
I guess there's a world where she could be a brat if she was being like really mean about it, but she's not. And there's no world where that's bougie. It's so stupid.
None. Absolutely none.
At least like in the developed world. I guess. Fair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Rob's a man boy, man. He is not capable of controlling his emotions. And it's going to get bad. He just kind of bursts. He hasn't processed a lot of things. He's very immature. And he's never been called out on his bullshit before. And he can't deal with it.
He says he feels inadequate. I'm like, or he says that she makes him feel inadequate. I'm like, I think he just feel inadequate.
He's deeply insecure generally.
Yeah.
And she really, other than what she talked about in episode one, you know, the difficulties of growing up biracial in Spain and how that kind of isolated her, at least lately, since she's been independent, like she's had very little reason to not be secure and confident. You know, mm-hmm. So definitely. It's just,
that's true.
This is not going well so far. I still kind of like, I don't really see them breaking up. Honestly, I feel mm-mm. like they're going to get married. It's 90 day. Too. It they pretty much always, married. If they make it to America, they pretty much all, I think, I mean, I can't even think of one instance where they made it to America and didn't get married. This whole Nikki and Igor thing, that is going to end in a disaster because he's not going to get here. So it doesn't even count. This is a before the toe. 90. This is, this is not even toe. This is a before the 90 storyline. This is literally like, she even said this episode, we're going to see if we can like rekindle this. That's before the 90. What's happening?
I know. It's stupid. Well, let's kick off with Ashley and Manuel. Let's kind of go in reverse. I still think Ashley and Manuel so far are the most enjoyable couple, right? I mean, because we still are like influencer heavy, like Sophie and Rob, I don't hate as much as I thought, but like Nikki and Igor are clearly doing this just for clout. And then we have Gino and Jasmine are great, but like we just saw them. So far, this is like my favorite couple. But the fact that Ashley has never met Manuel's kids and isn't even sure if they're aware of her existence. Massive. Not great. Red flag.
I mean, she knew of them, but she doesn't. She knows the status of mom's understanding of this situation, which is nothing until this episode. But the kids aren't really brought up either. I honestly don't. Like, did I miss something? Do these kids live with his mom?
I think they live with their mom.
Mom or moms? Okay.
I don't know. We know zero things about these children except for the fact that they exist, which was like an offhand comment. I mean, this was wild. Have these two ever had a conversation? It seems like they don't talk.
No, and she speaks like for 90 day, like really good Spanish. They can communicate. And yeah, this is a kind of a weird thing to drop in episode 3, but it seems like in episode 4, they're going to answer or at least it's going to come up. The first question I have, which is like, what is the plan with your kids? Like, how involved are you? Are you going to send money? Are you going to bring them here? And it doesn't seem like Ashley has any fucking idea until someone puts a bug in her ear. I think it's Sienna. Who is like, okay, so what's going on with all these people? They keep blowing up. They keep blowing up your phone.
Yeah, that looks, well, it looks like his family is just trying to contact him and they have no way to do so. And so they're calling her.
He doesn't have a phone? I thought he had a phone.
He does. I mean, this is all in the next time on, so who knows if, like, how the... I mean, does he have email? I don't know. Does he have Facebook? It seems like he thought he could use his phone in America, but, yeah, the SIM cards don't really transfer most of the time. So he has to get a phone. They haven't budgeted for this, obviously, because they literally haven't planned for fucking anything.
Pretty much the only thing that's happened. Yeah, they... It seems clear why they don't talk about anything, because it feels like they just fuck away any problems and just move forward and then fuck some more when things go bad. We express our love through sex. That's great. That's really great. I hope that you can express your love in other ways that tend to improve a healthy relationship.
I also was like mad at her. Well, there's two things that are suspicious. The first is that I love how when she says, well, the first day was pretty good, except that little thing about me being a witch.
Yeah.
Little rift. It's like, we're never going to hear about this again, are we?
No,
we
just we're just going to move right past to massive fucking problem number three now.
Yeah. So they banged it out. It was amazing. He's a freak. And her words, not mine. But then she's like waking him up. I'm like, let the man sleep.
All day and then fucked the night away after getting drunk. I don't think he wants to go look at vegan sausages right now.
He's so confused about the, like, it's meat, but it's not meat. And he's so confused about baby carrots. I thought that was, that's the shit that I love.
The baby carrots was funny. You're just lazy. You fucking lazy asses.
But then he says, like, well, I'm going to have to adapt to this culture. And I was like, I appreciate that, Manuel. Yeah. You're going to have to adapt to baby carrots. You know, that's what we do here.
You're going to have to adapt to infinity choices in food markets. Yeah.
Ugh. But Rico Suave's in the bed. So it seems like that's blown over too, I guess.
No. I mean, in one of the other scenes, she says that now Rico Suave respects him as the man of the house and sleeps on the floor automatically.
Where he has just made his own nest of pillows and blankets. Rico Suave has.
Yeah. That just means that he kicked the dog when you weren't looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. He booted that dog off the bed and it figured it out.
It also wasn't on the floor all night because Manuel complained that the dog like licked his face a lot.
See, which honestly, that's why,
like, I don't want that. I don't want that.
No, I'm not okay with that. Not at all. I have enough problems sleeping.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Then, you know, I was actually like a little bit surprised that we got the mom call already. Were you? Like, I thought they were going to drag this out, that he like wasn't going to tell his mom until episode 18. But look, mom knows about Ashley. She recognized her. She said hello. She immediately like puts two and two together when she sees him on FaceTime, like, oh, Ashley's there. So I guess you went to America. It seems like mom knew that this was a possibility.
And I mean, if this is real, it seems like Ashley is going to maybe come up with a conspiracy theory that mom was always new and was in on this next episode. But if this is real, she doesn't seem like that shocked. She's just kind of, it just seems like she's like mildly emotional about him not saying goodbye. But on the other hand, it's not like he explains to her, you know, hey, listen, I can't come back for 2 years.
Right.
Because I need to have my travel documents first from the U.S. after we get married.
I figure that like they don't think this is a big deal. Like he's traveling for months at a time for work anyway. And he says, like, he explains, like, yeah, I do that. And then I like support my entire family doing that. So I'm sure that they assume he's going to do the same in America. But the problem is he's not going to be able to work for at least a year and he's not going to be able to travel home. And I don't know that they understand either of those things. And I'm a little worried if he's supporting his kids. How is he going to support his kids now? He can't work. He's the breadwinner.
If he was supporting everyone and traveling for work, I don't know other than Ashley giving him money to send to them.
I mean, she's going to give him thousands of dollars to send back every month. It just, I doubt he's making
thousands of dollars a month, but I mean, maybe. I don't know. He's a construction worker in Ecuador. I don't think he's raking it in. But I have no idea if Ashley is even aware that this conversation is going to have to happen. Maybe the reason they're blowing up Ashley's phone is like, hey, we need to eat.
Money.
What's going on, Dad?
Like, you were sending money every week and it just stopped. Like, what the hell are we supposed to do? So, yeah, that's a
maybe
problem.
That's the reason. Maybe that's the reason why he said, I didn't want them to change my mind about this. Because the first thing they would have said is, okay, I'm happy for you. How are we going to have money?
Yeah, they probably would have been like, you're not getting on the plane. We're going to starve. So great. So that's great. Then this meeting with Ashley's family. I love that she like bought clothes for him for the occasion. Again, this is like a little suspect. This confirms, I think, my suspicion that the man arrived with no luggage.
Yeah, like nothing.
Like nothing.
He boned out at the last possible minute, and I don't even think he packed his shit. Maybe he didn't pack because he
nothing.
Maybe he didn't pack because he thought it would arouse suspicion and people would call him out and try to stop him from leaving. I mean, so based on what we've seen, it kind of does feel like this man was a breadwinner that just boned out on his family. I hope that's not true.
Are you like, what do you think his motivations are? Like, knowing we're going to have to revisit this question every single week, but
and fuck and fuck and fuck and whiskey and fuck and baby carrots.
So you think he's like super into Ashley and like he just wanted to come here and marry her?
I think he's pretty into the sex, you know, and he can work and make more money and send it back to his kids. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. It's suspicious. Ashley describes her mom as the matriarch of the family. It seems like they have a pretty warm, like, embrace. The sister, Sienna, is there also. And mom just wants babies. And I died laughing when Ashley was like, she just takes babies. Not like kidnaps them. Not like kidnaps them. She just has them all the time. I'm like, I'm sure people love this, Ashley. This is a good trait. Like, if somebody, like, some grandma showed up at my door, you know, neighborly grandma, and wanted to watch my kid all the time, I'd be like, yeah, sure. Take him on over to your house for a few hours. Sounds great.
Ashley's good TV. She's really funny. She's witty. I wouldn't date her, but she's enjoyable to watch on TV for sure.
Yeah.
This mom conversation was built up in the previews, and it kind of was a nothing burger.
Yeah,
I agree. She didn't really go after him. The hardest question that she asked was like, why didn't you tell your mom and make sure you communicate, please? And he doesn't even commit to communicating well. Did you notice that?
Yes, he does not.
She's like, can you please just, like, you know, make sure you communicate? And he says, well, she has to accept me. Incorrect answer, sir. Okay, Sarper. Let's calm down here.
Yeah, it is pretty funny. I mean, Manuel, he is like, I think he's good TV too, because he just doesn't give a fuck. He's really like, he just doesn't really care about a whole lot except dogs sleeping in the bed. He doesn't really have strong emotions about anything else, which I find like really strange. So I don't know. I was impressed he cooked a meal. You know, we heard Izzy from Love is Blind talking about his cooking skills all goddamn season. The man didn't cook a single thing. Here's Manuel on night two cooking a meal. Good for him. Looked good.
Mucho carne. And, you know, looks muy delicioso. And here we go. And yeah, fuck off, Rico Suave. I'm the man now.
Rico Suave respects him as man of the house, though. So it's totally fine.
It's totally fine.
This FaceTime call with Manuel's mom was funny because all of a sudden she just disappears and they don't try to get her back or anything. It's just like, well, she's gone. The call ended. Internet fail.
Internet Bye. Failed. Oopsie. Whew. See ya, mom.
Bye. and that's where we end.
We got to move on anyway.
This show is brought to you by BetterHelp. When I have something really stressful going on in my life, I often have trouble sleeping because thoughts just race through my head and keep me up all night, which leads to me being super tired the next day and prevents me from enjoying my life to the fullest. Do you ever just find that just trying to fall asleep, your brain suddenly just won't stop racing? I found one way to help stop racing thoughts is to talk them through. Therapy gives you a place to do that, so you can get out of your negative thought cycles and find some mental and emotional peace. My experience with therapy has been that when I know I have time slotted to talk through hard things going on in my life, my worries, frustrations, things that I'm anxious about and can't stop thinking about, especially at night, I'm better able to take care of the people in my life and enjoy my day to day. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries, and it empowers me to be the best version of myself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get a break from your thoughts with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/CrayCray today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/CrayCray. BetterHelp.com/CrayCray. And thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
All right. Who do you want to talk about next?
Let's talk about Sophie and Rob. So I really like hated Rob this. I mean, I didn't like him last week, but I don't know. He gets really aggro, and kind of yelling at her about things that are pretty reasonable.
Yeah, first yellow flag is she just flew, according to her, 25 hours somehow from London. And he's she passes out. And then he's poking her with his boner. And she's like, I need to sleep. But I'm a man. Ugh, God, dude.
Gross.
Fuck off. Sex pest. Gross.
That is a literal sex pest. You have to remember, too, there's a 10-year or a 9-year age difference here. And 23 to 32 is those are significant years in a lot of ways.
Very much.
So I don't know. But I was just really taken aback by him saying things like, well, you're used to this bougie ass stuff. And, you know, your family always pays your rent. I'm going to bring you down to earth a little bit. Like, fuck off, Rob. The woman just wants a bathroom inside. She's not making any other demands. And she's worked for everything since she was 16.
There's so many other ways to say and to explain that I'm working hard too, and this is what I've built so far, and I'm excited to build further with you, right? And here's my ideas to get us out of this place that you don't like, and I love you, and I want you to be happy. Instead, well, you're just bougie. How are you fucking
She's not in, bougie.
How are you engaged?
If you don't like that, don't date her. What's your problem?
As if he didn't know that she was going to feel this way. She's already been there and expressed this to him. And it looks like it, you know, look, if you haven't been able to afford to move into a new place, that's one thing, but it didn't even look like he cleaned the bathroom. So I don't know, man. This is just, he's insecure. And look, maybe he has a little bit of a right to be insecure. I get it. But he lashes out in just really childish ways when he gets called out.
Yeah. I couldn't tell if he had, we're notoriously bad at this, but I think it was last week he was opening the trunk of his car with a piece of wood. He had a small 2x4 he was opening the trunk with. And I was like, is that a nice car or is that?
You do what you got to do, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm anti spend a lot on cars, but I did forget about that.
Did I ever tell the story of how I drove a drunk friend home and she threw my car door open while I was parking, and like almost broke the door off my car because I was reversing and there was a telephone pole and it like bent the door like the wrong way that it doesn't open.
Oh no.
And just completely fucked it up. She didn't even remember and refused to pay me any money. But anyway, for a while, like I didn't have any money to fix my car. I was in college. And so what I did is I would drive with my left hand and I like took a bike lock and I wrapped it around the door handle and just like held the door closed in my right hand as I drove. And I even like somehow scored a date with like a really like beautiful kind of like, I think I was like, I was like 20 and I think she was 26 and I was like, holy shit, I can't believe I'm like going. And then she's like, can you drive? And I said, well, okay. And I drove and she never talked to me again because I was holding the bike lock over her lap as I was driving like on the freeway.
That's great. That is really funny. Oh man. God. Well, college. She should have been so bougie.
I know. Boozy ass bitches that I dated in college. God.
We're not gonna talk about this. We're not gonna talk about it every day. Man, I don't wanna hear about it. It's gonna piss me off.
He actually said, this is a quote from Rob and that I cannot explain. If we had an inside bathroom, we'd just have a dirtier house.
This is like he's actually advocating for an outdoor bathroom as a positive.
Yes. I'm like, how would that be dirt? What? Are you shitting on the floor of your bathroom? Like what?
He went to some guy's house once that had a pool and like a changing room like near the pool. And he's like, oh, this is great. I can just piss all over the place and then jump back in the pool. That's fine.
I don't understand this. It's so confusing. So it was funny at Venice Beach. And I think that maybe she was trolling a little bit. Like she spent months in LA. They have been together for months in LA. And so she's got to know that like, oh, that little bungalow that you're pointing at is like probably 12 million.
Yeah.
I mean,
Venice Beach.
Yeah.
12 million would be cheap if the rent's 25 grand. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, you know, people in California know how expensive these like housing is there, but I could see if you aren't used to it or, you know, even I don't know, you might not know like how much things are. And she's just saying like it'd be nice to live closer to the beach. She didn't demand, oh, we need to buy one of these tomorrow. And
yeah, she was just curious, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to rack my brain this whole time. Like, I can't think of a place in LA, maybe like kind of near Long Beach, you could live like in a cheaper place. But there's not a lot of communities that are any better than Inglewood that are cheaper and closer to the beach, except maybe around Long Beach area.
Yeah, I mean, it's very expensive. It's one of the most expensive places to live probably in the world.
And there's a reason. It's like beautiful. It's like you don't have weather.
Yeah.
So.
And now that we know that Rob is from Kansas City, it's kind of like, I wonder what he is still doing there. If he's trying to like make it as an actor still or something, because the way he described his career is like a jack of all trades. Like the way that I see it going down is like Rob moved to California from like Kansas City or Oregon, or, you know, he grew up in a couple different places and then he was trying to be a model. And then he just, you know, like many people ended up staying there, but he doesn't have like, he never, you know, made it in show business, I guess. So his options for affordable housing are pretty limited.
I found it interesting. Like, I would not have assumed that she has been independent as long as she has. Does that change your kind of perspective of Sophie a little bit?
Yeah. All this stuff that Rob's saying about her is bullshit. Like he mentions, he's like, well, you going to pay for it? You call your family and have them pay our rent. It's like, first off, Rob, you would totally accept that money with absolutely no hesitation. But all, which like, that's fine. Like I would too, whatever. But also, like, do you two talk? She said very clearly in her ITM, she hasn't accepted money from her family since she was 16 or 17. And she was waitressing. She's been hustling, like, to
support herself. I mean, I imagine she makes the vast majority of her money on OnlyFans and being an influencer.
Yeah. Which, I mean, whatever. She's still making her own money. She's not taking money from her family. So I just don't understand where this narrative is coming from that he thinks she's spoiled and bougie and she's just, like, basically getting a free ride. Like, do they not talk?
I wonder if he just perceives what she does as illegitimate then.
Yeah.
And he's so,
a model, too. Come on.
Yeah. He would... I bet you there's been, I don't know. I think Sophie made a lot of money on OnlyFans. I'm not sure if that's consistent, but yeah.
What do you think about the, like, following this, I guess, Instagram, they call it a page, like, I guess, like an Instagram page that
I mean, it's
basically like hot girl pictures and Dora the Explorer outfits.
It's a cosplayer. I feel like I have no actual context here.
Yeah.
You know, if he's just, if he follows like hot girl Instagram accounts and it's just like someone posted a thirst picture. Okay. You know, I don't, whatever. I actually turned off Instagram notifications a long time ago for everything because it's absolutely absurd how many notifications. Like, I don't give a fuck that Varia went live. I don't.
I mean, there are times where like Larissa's boobs just pop up on my Instagram. I know. Like
on my fucking Apple Watch, dude. I get like huge titty notifications on my Apple Watch of Jasmine's ass and shit. So I had to turn all that off.
Jesse living the luxury life in Spain with his like bulge out. Like it just, you know, if my husband were to like check on my Instagram notifications, you might have some questions too. But
I have to like lock the door and put on headphones to watch 90 Day now because there's a nurse with giant fake ass like shoving things into her vagina.
Oh, it's great stuff. Yeah, so I don't know, I just didn't think this was like a huge deal. And she connects it to, which she says Rob cheated on her. And what I gathered from this, which again, we get very little explanation, but it sounds like one of those, like, I don't know who, I always wonder who responds to these things. Apparently Rob does, where it's like, big tits, have a chat or whatever. And he was just like, singles, sure.
Singles in your area, here's my ass.
Yeah, he was like, it's COVID, but, and I have been locked up in this 200 square feet for 7 months. Sure, I'll have a chat.
Okay, so here's what I'm confused about. I'm not confused that Rob would talk to someone sending thirst trap pictures to him. What I am confused about is it kind of sounds like Sophie was saying that she must have known this person, right?
Oh, I didn't get that. I was very confused. I don't because know.
Sophie's story is that some girl texted him naked pics and he engaged in conversation with her, and then immediately this person told Sophie about it. So what the fuck? Like, that has to be a friend, like an acquaintance of hers or something, who would just do that for no benefit.
Unless it was like a scam artist that,
or an extortion, like if you don't pay me $100, I'll tell Sophie
I sent you pictures of my boobs, you know. I don't know.
Maybe it was on Facebook, and that's how this person knew that they were dating, because it said on their Facebook profiles.
I mean, it's look, I don't want my husband talking to these people. No, for sure.
I don't know if it's cheating, but That is a massive line cross if someone just randomly sends you titty pictures and you respond like, absolutely not.
That's not that's like watching instant, porn. That's, no, that's personal contact.
That's an instant block.
Yeah. He gets so angry when she calls him out on it. And
he knows.
Yeah. Well, you and were on Bumble BFF.
Yeah. It's really stupid. Like,
that's not the same, Rob. I don't believe Sophie was on real Bumble. She was, I do believe she was like trying to find friends.
I've been told that it's been explained to me now that friend Bumble is a thing. So thank you for explaining that this isn't total bullshit, because it sounds very suspicious.
Totally.
Why are they having this conversation in the middle of a goddamn median in Los Angeles?
I don't know, because that's like, what else do they do all day? I don't think they have any money. I don't think they have anywhere they can go.
No, but like there's so many places you can go. Inglewood has businesses.
I know.
It's not like a cyberpunk war zone or something. It's also, like,
where are the ancillary characters? We need like friends. We need somebody else.
Where's Rob's hilarious friend? You guys have stood in a major city median before, right? Yeah. It's not like this is like perfectly trimmed and well-kept grass or something. So in Los Angeles, the trees just grow and they never need anyone to do anything because it's LA. Yeah. But these places have like shitty just patches of like dirt and crappy grass and trash and fucking needles and dog shit. It's not a place to enjoy a walk and then strike up a serious conversation. It's so annoying.
Yeah, like go to a coffee shop like everybody else, or a bar with no patrons where they'll let you film for $20. That's what we're used to. Yeah. Let's talk Gino Jasmine. Look at you with your big ones bulging out. What every woman loves to hear when they present their fiance with lingerie.
Has Gino ever
you with your big ones bulging out? That is what he said.
Has Gino ever said or done anything smooth in his life?
No.
He's the antithesis of sexiness.
He really is. I don't understand this at all, but he seems game for it, which is a change of attitude. Okay, you do you, yeah. Gino. I guess at least you're complimenting her. I don't understand her bangs. Her bangs are like in her eyes. It's like they're just a smidge too long, or I don't know if the nurse hat was like pushing them down. It was weird.
Go wash your hands and dick, Gino.
She did tell him to wash his dick. I was like, oh, that's probably merited if he's been sleeping naked in that bed bug bed.
Here's my notes. Oh my God, here's the plugs. What the fuck am I watching? Now they're blurring her ass out. Sorry, Coco, get the fuck out of here. You're violent. I like that. Great.
That's about, I have, oh wow, they're really getting up in there. They had to blur her ass crack. This is where we're at.
Yeah.
I mean, Gino just seemed game for anything. So he was game for the costume. He was game for the toys. He said he didn't have a steady hand, but she didn't seem concerned. All right.
Gino, probe me. Probe my vagina, Gino.
Do you think sex 3 times a day, every single day, is sustainable? That is what Jasmine has demanded.
Look, he's unemployed. What else are you going to do all day?
That's what I thought. I was like, actually, maybe they could. But I just
if I didn't have a kid and it's winter in Vood and we were both unemployed, God, I hope it would be at least twice.
I don't know. I just, she's going to starve. That's going to be.
Like twice a day when we were trying to get pregnant felt like a whole lot. So I don't know.
It is. It's all fun on vacation for a week, but it is like a lot. I don't know. The only thing that Jasmine's eating to regain her energy after all this sex is like some cashews that have been around since 2013 or something.
Right.
Because Gino bought honey bread. Although there are vegans that totally eat honey and there are vegans that don't eat honey.
Moving on.
Yes. Not something we discuss. And yeah, so then Gino tells her about the fact that he quit his job. I think he either retired or I think he took like a 3-month hiatus, which is like a little bit more realistic.
I don't think he actually quit.
I don't either.
Yeah. I think he took a leave of absence.
Gino. Yeah.
I know. I think it's way too irresponsible of him. I think he negotiated this with his employer because he knew Jasmine was going to be here and he was going to be on film all day. And I mean, shit, they could probably film 3 seasons and pretend that it was just the 90-day window. And he makes a nice chunk of change, goes back to work. Presumably his employer doesn't want to lose him. I don't know.
There's a labor shortage right now. I mean, he was laid off during COVID, but
assuming that Gino isn't like a dangerous sex pervert at work and like a super creep, I bet he's actually a pretty diligent employee.
I think so. Yeah. I think he would be. He's always worried about money. We saw him in Panama like last season. I don't even know what season that was. Not the one we just saw, but like last year where he was freaking out about, you know, he's very careful with his money. He doesn't like to spend money. How do they have health care? How did he sponsor her visa? I don't know. It seems like he either had enough to retire or maybe he even only took like a 30-day leave of absence. Right. And they're just going to get married right away because we know that they're going to get married.
I'm glad that Jasmine doesn't care about the wedding.
She really doesn't.
That would be just compounding horror for this whole situation if she was a total bridezilla. Like, I spent all the money on butt implants. Now give me another $10,000 for the dress, Gino.
Yeah, she really hasn't said a single thing about, I think the wedding's going to be chill. I don't know. They haven't discussed a single detail.
I wonder if the reason she doesn't care, maybe the reason she doesn't care is because who's going to be there? His family. She doesn't give a shit about his family. So whatever.
Yeah, her kids won't be there yet. She's probably expecting to have like a big wedding in Panama next year. So I don't know. If her kids and her family can't come, you're right. Like, what does she care?
I understand her being stressed, but he does say straight up, as soon as you're settled and we're married, I'm going to get a job again. So, I don't know.
Yeah. That seems suspicious.
It just is it's uncertain, right?
Yeah.
She doesn't, I'm sure she doesn't understand his industry. I don't either. I'm really curious if he did actually quit, how easy would it be for him to either get his job back or get just another job? Are automotive engineers like massively in demand right now? I have no idea.
Zero idea as well. Yeah, I don't know. So I guess we'll just have to see. But,
well, Gino takes out his sexy banana, but then it turns out he didn't. Because there was a fucking scene of him getting up off the massage table and he had his underwear on.
Yeah. This whole massage situation was weird. They were like, here, come in here. These poor masseuses, like, they're changing in the room. They're getting underneath.
These poor people. And there's cameras. There's a hat. There's... Everyone's wearing underwear for some reason. Like they don't know what the fuck's happening here. Can't touch butts, can't touch heads, can't touch fake titties. can't probably touch most of Gino, actually. It's like, what the fuck are we doing here, guys? And then they're fighting the whole time.
Those boobs are definitely bigger, right? It looks like her skin looks like so taut. It looks painful.
It looks crazy.
I hope Jasmine isn't going to the lengths that Larissa did. You know, it's just at some point it's going to be too much.
I don't know if Jasmine's for real and she says that she's doing this for Gino, then at a certain point it has to end, right? Larissa was doing it for social media clout and kind of like horror porn or whatever the fuck she was doing.
Yeah. I just am not convinced that Gino cares about her butt implants that much. Maybe he does. Maybe I have it all wrong. I don't know.
But he is, I mean, Gino,
that they spent, Jasmine corrects him, we spent $10,000 on butt implants.
But he's like, so remember last season when Gino was like insulting her in the shower? I don't know.
No.
They were fighting. And he said some shit about her like labia, I think.
Oh.
You don't remember that? It was really dark and weird. Gross. And they got into a screaming match about it.
Yes.
And
so, like, yes. You're right. I don't remember what he said about her labia, but that does ring a bell.
And so I kind of would, I don't know. He just seems, I don't think he cares until he can use it as a weapon against her to make her feel insecure, to get power over her.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, this is the funniest shit ever, though. It's like the last thing we see in the whole episode is Dane paid for the remaining $2,000 of the butt implants. And I'm like, he owns 15% of that ass.
Yep.
This can't totally be true. So funny, though.
At 20%, Kim.
Well, wait, no. If it's $12,000 and he contributed,
I thought it was 10,000. Sorry.
Oh, yes. Sorry. 10,000. He contributed 2,000. I thought it was 12,000 is what I gathered. And Gino paid for 10 and he paid for 2. Moving on.
You're listening to Kim have a stroke in real time right now. Okay. Moving on to Nikki and Igor.
I have very little to say. I thought they were awkward together.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not great.
She gives him an allowance. Do we believe this? This is a classic 90-day trope.
I don't know. What does allowance mean in this context? Is it just like she's paying for his plastic surgeries that apparently he's getting?
It sounds like it. And
via Medicaid fraud, apparently.
Jesus. I don't know. It just feels like they're trying to create like the storylines that have worked in the past. Like, oh my God, she's sending him money. Oh, he's getting these surgeries. Like, it's like a reverse. It's like Gino and Jasmine almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Igor isn't very like charismatic either. He's very like even keel, monotone. The flowers were really big. They were like half the size of his body. So that was a grand gesture, I'd say.
The flowers were nice. She does a Darcy bath. And I agree with you. He's like, you know, he's like Andre if he wasn't angry all the time. There's really not much left there besides rage with Andre. Yeah. So he's, you know, they're just doing kind of the same storyline about safety that we've seen before with other couples. And
we saw this with Ronald 2.0 and it's like rat nest hair. Yeah.
South Africa. I don't really buy the whole logic of like we can go out and hang out and do whatever in the middle of the day, but not at night. It feels like that's kind of the opposite of what you would Is he claiming there's just a general crime issue, or it's like people are going to look at Nikki and just immediately fly into a bigoted rage? Because I don't know what. I kind of buy Nikki's argument. Like, it does sound like he's trying to hide her at night, which makes less sense than in the day, if that's the reason that people are going to look at me and freak out. But I also feel like it's a stretch to think he has some like nightclub girlfriend too. Doesn't make any sense.
Nightclub girlfriend. This is the reason that this all feels like bullshit is because Nikki was there 9 months ago.
Yes.
And Nikki was also there chasing her Russian boyfriend in the late 90s. So like 25 years ago when she had fewer surgeries.
Kim, she looks so much better now.
No, that's why it's like it doesn't make. Wouldn't she be way less safe 25 years ago?
The
9 months makes no sense. Like,
the 9 months is the thing that makes no sense. Do
what
you did
9 months ago. Like, this is not a new situation.
The 9 months makes no sense because presumably she doesn't look that much different than 9 months ago. And just because some friends and family knows that she's trans, does that mean that you are just like broadly less safe at night than you were 9 months ago because a couple people know about this?
Also, like, how many people is he telling, and did he get her consent? Because it sounds like he told a ton of people because he says a lot of his friends don't want to come to the engagement party.
Okay, I have no idea what that means, though. I have no idea if he just was scared of the embarrassment, and so he only invited people he thought would be cool. Or does that mean he invited a bunch of people and only a few people said yes?
And again, I might be way off here, so I don't think you can tell Nikki is trans by looking at her. I couldn't. So I don't know why he is assuming people will know. They're both assuming that people will know, or are they saying that like Igor's gonna tell everybody at the engagement party? I'm just confused about that.
He's acting like word is like gotten out all over the city.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you, like, I agree with you, like, I'm not looking at people and, like, constantly thinking to myself, is that a trans person? But yeah. I wouldn't think twice about it because I'd be more distracted by just, like, all of the work that is very distressing to me.
Yeah, like, she's wearing, like, high stiletto heels and, like, leather she pants.
She has fake ass, fake hips. Everything is that's more distracting, I guess. Like, I don't know. It wouldn't even occur to me either, I don't think.
It wouldn't occur to me. And yeah, just like her bleach blonde hair and her, like, she's got a lot of makeup on. Like, she just looks, as Igor says, women will do their makeup and hair and dress up a lot for special occasions, but not on just a normal day. So that's why she stands out. I don't know. This whole thing is confusing, but
Nikki says one thing that kind of lets the mask slip about how she feels about this, though. She doesn't, first of all, she's not concerned for her own safety, which is good. But I think what she really feels about this whole thing is revealed when she says, who cares? You're leaving anyway. So basically she's saying she doesn't care at all about how his friends, family, or anyone feels about this, which she, I guess, has a right to do. Like, she shouldn't have to care about other people's bigotry, but I don't even think she cares about how he feels about how his family feels and how he feels comfortable in his own country, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I guess we're going to have to see how it goes. I did think it was funny. She thought that, like, he has a nightclub girlfriend. That's why he doesn't want to take her out at night. That was pretty funny. But again, like, this, all of this just seems a little fakey only because she was there 9 months ago and we don't hear any specific accounts of something that went wrong and so that they have to correct. It's just, I feel like they probably had the same discussion 9 months ago and it's confusing. Thanks for listening. I think this was, I don't know. I'm still like divided. I'm excited for next week that we're going to get
finally
this new couple, the Aussie. He's a Korean Aussie, Devin. I'm unclear if they're, it looks like they're filming in Seoul, which could be really cool.
Yeah.
So I don't know anything about the storyline, but I'm excited to find out because it looks interesting. So
it's episode 3. I'm excited for new people. It's not a great sign.
I know. We'll get through it. Yeah. Thanks for listening. And I'll talk to you in a few weeks. And Kyle will talk to everybody next week.
Stay tuned. Talk to you later.
Bye.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.